Test. Okay, so what happened there is my computer crashed. So that's not good. Or maybe it is. It's a good lesson in impermanence. Permanent suffering and non-self, certainly. Hi. Did you miss me? I'm back. Can you all hear me again? Oh, what's going on? Uh-oh. Hello? Okay, it's spinning. You're always spinning. Why is it spinning? Okay.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I'm just going to take a few more minutes and then we can go on to questions and stuff.
Okay, there. We should be recording again with video. But, you know, at least until it crashes again. So my whole computer crashed. Sorry about that. Probably going to be a common thing until I figure out why it's crashing. Okay, so just to get back to goodness, so what were we talking about? We were talking about giving. Giving includes doing a lot of doing good things to other people. I mean, you could include in there helping other people, though that's often separated out. Like, one way of doing good things is not even doing good things yourself, but encouraging other people, or sorry, helping other people. In doing good deeds. When someone else wants to give and you give a gift, like maybe they have a ceremony or they're giving to a bunch of people, or maybe they've set up a food bank or something, and so you help them work in the giving field. Or you help people to come and learn the Dhamma and set up a center on the internet, and you invite people to come and give talks on Second Life, that kind of thing. But this can all be put under the heading of dana, if you like. Oftenness, I think. Another big one is sila. One that you can't really put under dana is the idea of sila. Sila means, this is the bad stuff. Sila means not doing bad things. Not doing things that harm others. Because when you harm others, you of course harm your own psyche. It's not good for you to hurt others. This is why looking out for your own benefit is actually not selfish. When you work for your own happiness,
hello? It
automatically involves working for the happiness of others. If you work for the detriment of others, if you do kill or steal or lie or cheat, not only does it harm others, but it directly harms you. So keeping ethical precepts, refraining by, as a rule, refraining from bad things is in and of itself goodness. Why? Because it leads to happiness. It frees you from all the trouble that comes from harming others. And the third one is the one we already talked about. We talked about bhavana. Bhavana is all these other citta pariyodapanam, sacitta pariyodapanam. The purification of one's own mind in various ways. Anything that cultivates wholesome mind states can be through sending love to others, expressing compassion to others. Can be through contemplation of things like death or the aspects of the body. There's even a meditation on food where you think about the nature of food and it helps you lose your infatuation or intoxication with different types of food. Meditators, people who do, curiously enough, when they do intensive meditation practice, it's common for meditators to lose interest in eating and the thought arises, oh, I have to go eat again. But it's not because the food is not good, it's because it's become a chore. You start to realize the true nature of eating is that it's actually a burden for us to have to eat, which is pretty much the opposite of how people normally look at it. And of course there's the meditation on insight. Mindfulness. Trying to see things as they are. And we cultivate wisdom. And wisdom simply means understanding things clearly, objectively. Not misunderstanding reality as being pleasant or stable or controllable. And so not getting upset when it goes against our expectations. Getting upset when it turns out that the way we look at the world is all wrong. The wrong way of looking at things is bad because it will upset you. Understanding reality and the nature of reality is good because you'll never be upset. You'll always be prepared. This is why understanding is the best. Once you understand things, you become invincible. Suffering comes from not having our expectations fulfilled. Anyway, Let's call that some basic thoughts about Buddhism, about goodness, and leave it at that, because I can see everyone was aching to talk and chat. So you're welcome to use voice. Of course, if you do use voice, you better have a headset, or else you're going to cause problems. So those of you who know how to use voice and how to use it without echoing, please feel free to use voice, but don't use your speakers. I think you pretty much need a headset if you're going to use voice. So that's all. What were we talking about? What's up? What's going on? What's happening? I get you all to meditate. Sit here and meditate, that's also good. Yeah, I'll try to come back every week. I'll try to have more to say. I know it seems I always have lots to say, but I'll try to have more of a talk. But that's why I'd like to talk with y'all, to see who's coming and what people are like. I can't read your mind, so I can't tell what y'all are thinking.
Yes, I think we all got really... I'm sorry, I'm echoing. I'll type it.
So, but no questions? Wasn't there questions before? Anything I said that didn't make sense that someone wants to... challenge or argue about?
There's an echo happening.
Huh. Am I echoing? I can't be echoing, am I?
Yep. It's...
Well, maybe I am echoing.
If you turn off your speaker...
Oh, yeah, just a second. I know what I'm doing. Monitor. There. Okay, is that better? Test. Better?
Yes, better.
Yeah, you know what, I was loop backing right into Second Life, which is ridiculous. Sorry about that.
So Dar, might I suggest something, if it's okay?
Me? Okay, sure.
I would suggest that if people have questions and they can't voice, they could write them in text. Yes. If they can voice, they could type a 1 and you could address... whatever question someone wants to voice. That's my recommendation.
I'm not teaching right now. Bhante is teaching right now. Maybe that's what he would like to do. That is actually a good idea, I think.
Okay.
Well, I'm okay think so. Anything.
Oh, was I supposed to be moderating? Sorry.
You can moderate, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, I think if anyone would like to speak, follow Jai's advice and type a 1, and then that way no one speaks at the same time. Yes, go ahead, Jai.
Well, I want to thank you for coming. When I heard you were coming, you sounded interesting. And Dar was kind enough to give me a link to the internet, to YouTube. And I listened to you in a number of talks, some of them quite profound and jaw-dropping. And I like Buddhism. I like it very much. I'm a Sikh, or was a Sikh. And I found that your demeanor, your tone of voice, the energy that you put forward, and the way you address questions is really quite excellent. So I'm pretty honored that you're here and excited for everybody here. So that's really not a question, but I just wanted to give you that feedback. Thank you. I'm done.
Thank you. That's great. It's good to have feedback, positive and negative. I mean, it's good to have both, either. Any feedback is good. As long as it's honest.
If anyone would like to speak next, just go ahead and type a 1 and then you can speak.
What was all the chatter on about while I was talking? I'm not criticizing, I'm not complaining, I just, please don't take it too harshly, like, oh, he got upset at us. I didn't really. It was more like I wasn't sure whether I should start addressing the things you were saying or whether I should keep talking. And it's hard to go back and forth here because technology. So please don't be afraid to talk.
Go ahead, Bhante, to Sara.
Good and bad, who said? Wait, where are we? Someone. Good and bad are cultural ideas. Well, I guess I disagree. I mean, good and bad can be cultural ideas. But to me, good is anything that leads to happiness. And I think not everything leads to happiness. Oh, this person left. Oh. Well, good. We don't have to argue. Well, not really good. Why did they? I guess they left because they weren't answered. Well, then I apologize. The good and bad can be very cultural and therefore arbitrary, but we wouldn't consider those to be meaningfully good or bad in Buddhism. Bad is anything that leads to suffering. I guess the surprising thing is that people would find contentious is the idea that there are specific things that lead to goodness and that there are specific things that lead to, or things that lead to happiness and specific things that lead to suffering. Because people would also say that happiness is subjective. But happiness isn't subjective. It's true that the things that make you happy are subjective. But that only applies on a mundane, superficial, coarse level. Like, for example, a drug addict, well, drugs make them happy.
But that's very superficial. No one who has any rational understanding of the way the world works thinks that drug addicts are actually happy because of the drugs. So we don't mean pleasure. By happiness, we don't mean pleasure. Because definitely that which brings pleasure to people is very subjective, and it's artificial, really. It's conditioned. Right? You can condition dogs to salivate when they hear a bell because they've come to associate the bell with food. But you can't condition someone to be happy. That takes deconditioning. It takes rational causes and effects. We need specific causes to be happy. So our claim is that goodness is that cause. I think it's important because we live in the world. We have to deal with mundane situations. And so if you want one way to look at things that's very important is goodness. Of course, we'll often say mindfulness, but I think it fails to capture the conventionality of the world. Like when you're dealing with people, how should you relate to them? You can say be mindful, but it doesn't really capture what's going on. If you think of goodness, it captures everything. Mindfulness, humility, kindness, compassion. Jai, go ahead.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry, I just can't believe all these wonderful people are speaking. This is such a rare and fabulous opportunity. So I guess I will. I have lots of questions and I have lots of curiosity about your perceptions. And so today I was having a conversation earlier with someone who is here about the very issue of dogs and the bell ringing and salivation, not salivation, but salivating. And the fact that I'm in a deep study of the tarot, and in my deep study of the tarot, when you look at the Fool card, you see a man, a young man, who is very happily just about to step off a cliff. And at his heels is a little dog, a little white dog. And the way that we learn about this card in the tarot deck is that the little yappy dog is his ego, his mind, not the capital M mind, but his little mind. And that if we do not train our little minds with what's right, what's wrong, what's good to do, what's not good to do, and get that disciplined little dog in place, then the dog will be in control and we will not. And we being the more, I don't know all the Buddhist language, but I would say more the divine self, more the enlightened self, or more the expanded self. You know, I'm searching for words. But once you let that little dog be in charge, then you're in trouble. Then you do what you say, is you try to anesthetize that little dog, you try to drink it so that it will calm down, you take stimulants to bring it back up. And I think that really relates to what you're talking about. Thank you.
Yeah, well, the ego is one of the root causes of suffering. It's one of the big evils. Ego is pretty evil. And by ego, we don't mean, I suppose, the Freudian ego, necessarily. We mean ego in terms of being egotistical. If you're conceited or arrogant, those play a big part in cultivation of evil. They make it worse, because if you're angry at someone says something to you and it makes you angry, well, that's one thing, but if you then go on to say, I don't deserve to be talked to like that, you see how much worse that is, because you've now become conceited, you've now become arrogant, self-righteous, and so you've validated your anger. You said, yes, I'm angry, You made me angry. How dare you make me angry? So you could argue that it's at the root of cultivating these emotions, instigating them, perpetuating them. Whereas when you get angry, if you were just to know it as anger and let it go, you'd come to a better understanding of the anger and eventually be free from it. Pointing outside oneself as the cause, at the cause? Yeah, that's definitely a big part of it. When we get angry, rather than focusing on the anger, we focus on what is causing the anger. And that's not the way we do things. Even Buddhist meditators or meditators are often under the impression that they have to find the cause of things. And that's not really how that's not really what we're interested in Buddhism. I mean, we talk about causes, but we're much more interested in seeing the way things are causally potent as they arise, watching things cause other things. So when you're angry, we're not interested in the cause of the anger, we're interested in the nature of the anger. And then we see that the anger is causally related to suffering, but it's causally related also to the sound. The sound of the voice, when someone says something to you, then you get angry at it. I'm much more interested in the actual anger itself. What is it like? Usually what we do is when we're angry, we try to find the cause of the anger and destroy it. That's why we create conflict, and that's why we cultivate the anger, because we think so much about the causes. That person made me angry, that person did terrible things to me. If you just focus on the anger, it's just anger, it comes and it goes. And so if you're not familiar to the meditation practice that I teach, the technique that complements this theory is to remind yourself of the anger. Remind yourself of that's just anger. When you say to yourself, we actually say to ourselves like a mantra, angry, angry, and not trying to get rid of it even, just trying to look at it. And as soon as you're objective about the anger, you'll destroy the anger. Because anger isn't objective. Once your mind is objective, the anger can't survive.
Does anyone else have any questions to ask Bhante? Go ahead, Robin.
Sadhu, Bhante.
Hi, Robin.
This was very nice.
Oh, there you are.
I am on a meditation cushion.
You know, that avatar looks shockingly like you.
It does. Just zoomed in. Looking. Yeah.
Did you have a question, or this is your first time on Second Life? Robin's quite active. She's on our board of directors, so we're good friends. And she's been to visit me, and she's coming to visit again soon.
Hi, I'm sorry. I'm not sure if I had my microphone on. This is new for me. I apologize. Just a simple question. I was wondering if this is going to be the normal spot for the talks and around the same time, or do you think it will change up from week to week?
Well, you know, everything changes, as we well know, but this is the idea, I think, is if this works, we'll just do this every week. Same time, same place.
Thank you, Bhante.
Welcome.
Nipita, did you want to speak? I know that you had your mic on.
Oh, thank you, Bhante. Thank you.
You're welcome. Did you want to say something?
Sorry, I got no questions.
Okay.
Does anyone else have questions or comments for Bhante?
I think I'm going to turn off the video recording, but we can stick around and chat for a while. Because I get the feeling that that's probably partially responsible for the crashing. Are the people over in the other sim able to hear?
Yes, they have a link to the live stream,
right.
And they're able to hear, I believe, yes.
Can they also chat with us? Can they text?
I don't think so. I don't think they're able to, because it's a separate, I think it's separate, but we could try. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we could do that.
But Delaney's out there, isn't she? Isn't Delaney in the other side?
Yes, I think so. And
so she's texting
I
us.
Could... Oh, she is. Okay. Oh, I don't see her in the local. Oh, there she is. Okay. But
it's great that we can.
Okay. Okay.
We can connect that way.
I do have one thing to say. I'm so excited. We were all so excited, and I'm really happy that you're going to be coming every week and teach here at the Buddha Center. And also, I wanted to ask, would it be possible to maybe conduct the Visuddhimagga study in Second Life? Do you think? How likely would that be?
It's not... I don't think it's ideal because we're studying a text. I think we want to focus more on the... I mean, it's harder for people to juggle, you know?
Okay.
And I mean, the immediate thought is that we've already, you know, to switch is going to potentially cause people confusion. And, you know, just with the technology, some people are not even able to get on Second Life. But having a study group, we could study something else.
And another thing is that, you know, considering many of the people who would come would be stepping in near the end, it wouldn't be ideal for those new people. And the Visuddhimagga is just not an ideal sort of mass consumption teaching. I mean, it's more for a dedicated audience, which I think you're not necessarily going to get here. I mean, not everyone coming here is even Buddhist or Theravada, you know, I mean, this isn't like it's a Theravada center. So, better to maybe go for something like, I used to read Jataka tales here, even. I did that for a while. But, you know, like we could study the Majjhima Nikaya or something. That would be maybe that more interesting.
And, Samanera Jayanta had something to say there. I didn't want to overlook that. Go ahead if you'd like to speak.
Okay. Bhante, I just wanted to say thank you for coming back to Second Life. As I was trying to type, but I kept whispering. Many years ago, when I was just a lay disciple first coming into Buddhism and Theravada, and not having any Sangha near me, I found the Buddha Center, and you were actually the first monastic I ever heard speak live, like give a Dhamma talk live. And obviously, the rest is history. So it's good to have you back, Bhante. Thank you.
Awesome. Good to have you as well. It's amazing that we actually have monastics coming to Second Life.
Well, you've been kind of a trendsetter that I've seen. As somebody who lived for 7 years as a late Buddhist disciple who had... I was the only Buddhist I knew in my daily life. I had no Sangha near me within an hour. So the Buddha Center became my Sangha. So, you know, until obviously I moved to Bhavana Society and, you know, to live here. But,
how is it there?
Yeah.
How are things at Bhavana Society?
Things are going well. Bhante G is actually in Malaysia right now. We have our seclusion going on right now. So Bhante G is doing some teachings over there and Malaysia and Singapore. And I think he's going to do go to Australia for a bit. He loves the digital Pali reader, by the way. I don't know. Mm-hmm. he says a lot of good things about that. And I think we've tried to actually get you to come to Bhavana Society one of these days.
He did invite me.
Maybe one
said,
day.
He said he gave me a standing invitation.
Yeah. Good. Okay, Bhante. Thank you.
Maybe this summer. Stop by.
Sounds good.
And Bhante Desaro would like to speak. Go ahead, please.
Who is Bhante?
Bhante Tisara, a bhikkhuni.
Yeah. Bhante is actually male, I thought. Or are they using it for bhikkhunis?
I thought
Tara,
it was
that's cool.
Both, but I'm probably wrong. Aya. Okay, Aya. I'm sorry. Aya Tisara.
I was pushing for Bhante, but anyway, whatever. Bhante works.
Thank you. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the digital polyreader. I knew it would. That was one thing. I put years into that thing. Ridiculous amounts of time into that tool. If you go through the code, you can see how crazy it is. If you ever want to read through it, even if you don't understand programming, you can just see how much went into it. You know, more than really should have, but it was because I knew this was, you know, I'm one of you using it. I was like, this tool, you know? It was quite a simple concept. Just the concept, the core concept was being able to take a word that has been declined or altered or even smushed together with another word and breaking it apart and giving you the dictionary definition. So you click on a word and it gives you the definition. I mean, that's really it's not the only useful thing about it. Of course, it does a million different things, but that was the core aspect. And that's so useful for most of us. Rather than having to look something up in a dictionary. Because anyone who's studied languages knows half the time you spend flipping pages through a dictionary, right? And of course, if it's a language like Pali or Sanskrit, the other good portion of your time is trying to figure out the declension, and if it's an irregular word, you have to remember the irregulars, forms. So being able to just click on a word and give you the meaning of the word is pretty awesome.
Yeah, Bhante, it's been amazing, actually. Until this whole debacle with them changing it so that we couldn't download it until you fix it, I didn't realize how much it helped my Pali learning until I didn't have it anymore.
And you have to do it all yourself again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then there were a lot of people offering suggestions, and one Sri Lankan American monk was persistent in giving me, he must have given me 100 different suggestions that I ended up implementing. Came out of that. So it's interesting work. Glad to know that there's that out there. Our new center, I don't know. I mean, I'm living in it, but we only have funding up to the end of the year, up to August, so in September I might have to move somewhere else. We might not be able to keep... The organization is renting a house, and I don't know if that's going to continue or not.
Such is the nature. I thought they were looking for a new area.
Well, closer to. We can't go. We can't rent a house unless we have the funds. So.
Yeah.
It's kind of moot point. Well, we're here.
Does anyone else?
We're doing good things. We're doing quite a bit at the university. And we've got meditators coming regularly now. We would have had 3 meditators at once, but I asked the third one to come a little bit later because I figured 2 is enough at one time for now. We have a woman from Poland, I think. No. I think maybe Poland. and a man from Finland is still here. And starting at the beginning of February, we will have, I think, 2 Americans. And then Robin is coming, and another American is coming. So yeah,
and I think Robin and the rest of the volunteer group are doing such really wonderful work and excellent job in keeping things organized, keeping things going, and there's such a benefit to everyone. So thank you for that, Robin, and everyone else who are volunteering. Just wanted to say that. Thank you. Does anyone else have anything, any question for Bhante?
Okay, then maybe we'll quit and we can have some informal chatting. We'll end it there. Thank you all for coming. I'm going to turn off the audio stream as well.